Are you an individual who simply never asks for help? That's me, or at least that was me. This meditation will address the issue, I'd rather do it myself. This is the 10th anniversary of my wife Nanette's death. As I record this meditation, I connect with her in spirit and thank her for all that she gave to me. Nanette was everything to me in my life. She was my wife, the mother of my two children, my lover, my friend. She was the one person in the world that I could not survive without. She died unexpectedly 10 years ago. Before her death, I had an attitude that pervaded everything that I did. And that attitude is, I can figure it out for myself. That's pretty much true of my life up until the time I was 52, which is now 10 years ago. I can figure it out all by myself. I was always a person who would rather tinker and experiment with figuring out how to do something than to take a class or read a book. I can figure it out myself. That was my attitude. I'm smart. I'm able. I'm capable. People out there are just wanting to take my money. They're offering something I can figure out for myself. So why solicit them to help me? I can do it all by myself. Besides, what evidence is there, I would always say to myself, that I need any help about anything? I graduated from high school at the top of my class. I don't know my rank. I think I was in the top 20. I graduated from a prestigious college, Vanderbilt University. I became a Navy officer during the Vietnam War, which was a formidable challenge since many, many young men preferred to become officers than enlisted. I was successful. I went to graduate school at an Ivy League school, Cornell University. I earned my graduate degree there. I became an assistant county manager for a very large county in Virginia and was successful there. I taught college classes in marketing at a school called Old Dominion University in Virginia, even though I had never had a marketing or, quite frankly, a business course in my life. I earned a PhD degree from Michigan State University after 4.5 years of study. I was awarded a prestigious appointment at the University of Texas at Austin, which is, by anyone's account, a prestigious faculty appointment in the business school there. I was offered and accepted tenure at the University of Kentucky in Lexington, the flagship state university in that particular state. I tried as best I could to impress myself that I was smart enough, that I was able enough to be able to accomplish what I set out to accomplish. Why then, I would say, do I need help from anyone? Look at the evidence. I am successful. I had two absolutely wonderful children. Children who I loved and children who loved me. Our family, by all accounts, was everything a family is supposed to be. We ate together, we laughed together, we played together. We sometimes fought and argued. That's what families do. But all in all, each day was filled with a promise to ourselves that we would set a course for the future that would be full of excitement and adventure and activities that would give all of us great joy. Attention was always focused on the children and their needs to make sure that they had all that was necessary to become adults in a world that was oh so challenging today. I could teach very adequately. People loved my classes. I had humor. I was engaging. I could certainly talk in social situations. By all accounts, if I looked at myself from the outside, I could say, I did it. I made it. I was successful. I am successful. I don't need counseling. I don't need body work. Sure, I've had trauma in my life. Everybody's had trauma. What's the big deal? I'm an adult. I've gotten over it. I'm a big boy. And that's that. Well, that sounds pretty convincing, huh? Well, let me give you a different perspective. Let me give you a different story, a story that was less conscious to me up until the age of 52 years. When I would find myself in crowds, at parties, at even work situations, I would find an intense anxiety. I couldn't tell you where it came from, but anxiousness riddled throughout every cell of my body in situations where I was with individuals who I knew as well as individuals who I did not know. In some situations, I would be supposedly the senior person there. That's a silly way to say I was the individual who was the teacher and everyone else was the student. In other words, I was in a classroom. The anxiety wasn't as great in those situations, but it was, I can assure you, still present. I would often watch a movie, and 15 minutes or 20 minutes into the movie, have absolutely no clue who the characters were, what they were doing, what their names were, or what the setup was. I would often turn to Nanette and begin asking very basic questions, which for her was very frustrating since she was paying attention. This happened time and time again. I could watch movie after movie after movie and not realize it was the same movie because I missed the whole story. I missed the essence of what the movie was all about. I would find, over those first 52 years, that there would be blocks of deep and profound depression that would swing in. They would grab me by the gut. They would drag me down into the gutter and make it such that I could literally barely step 1 foot in front of the other. They would take me to a place where it was difficult to get up in the morning and face the day. Those blocks of depression were times when it was difficult to teach, near impossible to write, and a true challenge to work at my university appointment jobs. Now, those are some of the feelings that were present, and as a professional, I would always gut them out. Somehow I could force myself to do what it was that I knew I needed to do in order to do an acceptable job for myself and for the organizations that I worked for. There's another feeling, a feeling that I carried with me deep inside, day in and day out. That was a feeling that I was never enough. It didn't matter really what I did, how many publications that I was successfully able to put out there in the world. It didn't matter how many prestigious journals I found my name affixed to an article. It didn't matter how many teaching awards I received or how many laudatory comments I received from students. It didn't matter that I knew in my heart I was doing a good job. Every day, I thought to myself, I am simply not enough. I tried at times to certify myself as smart, and this helped a bit. But still, there was a lingering, gnawing feeling that there was something else I needed to do to certify that I was all that I needed to be for myself and for others. Another perplexing feeling I had, literally moment to moment, this feeling was, there is not enough time. I would set a schedule for myself for the day, activities that I wanted to accomplish. The day would move in to the halfway mark, and I would look at my schedule activities, and I would say to myself, I've gotten only 10% of what it was that I had charted out to accomplish. There's not enough time. I must stay up late tonight and get up early tomorrow, else I'll never get done what I need to accomplish. The list was always getting longer and longer and longer every day. The feeling, you see, was literally overwhelming. The feeling weighted me down. If you were to take pictures of myself over the first 52 years, you would see a gradual slumping inward, my shoulders drooping down, my head drooping forward. I don't have the symptoms of Parkinson's, but my posture was the classic posture of an individual who does have the symptoms and does have difficulty with being able to walk around. Finally, there was a perplexing feeling of stuckness. I would have these ideas of what it was that I wanted to do or write about or talk about, and I would find myself unable to take action. The word for it that stuck as well was, I'm stuck. I can't get unstuck. The place, the feeling, was a place of, as much as I hate to admit it now, a place of powerlessness. Of course, as a man, I would never admit to any individual be that person, Nanette, my wife or my best friend, that I felt as though I was not in my full power, but that is the truth. There was so much more that I was capable of doing that I did not do because I was stuck. Another feeling, a feeling that my wife did not love me. Where did that come from, pray tell? Of course she dearly and desperately loved me as much as I loved her. A feeling that no one cares about me. Where did that come from, I ask you? 52 years of that feeling. A feeling that no one cares about me. Well, it was there. I'd rather do it myself if no one cares about me. That is a pretty sick thought to carry around for 52 years. I say I didn't get help, and I must tell you that is absolutely and unequivocally true. Did I ever get a massage during those first 52 years? The answer is, of course not. Massage is a sexually deviant, weird activity. I don't want to be touched by a stranger. Did I ever go to get psychological counseling? Of course not. I'm not a person that's going to do that kind of thing. I don't need to get any counseling. I'm successful. I can do it on my own. I can figure it out on my own. I'm a strong, capable man. I'm not going to go to a shrink. And so, of course, I didn't. Did I ever get any form of trauma release work in my life? Are you kidding me? You've got to be crazy. Trauma release? I've dealt with all the trauma in my life. Sure, there was a lot of it when I was a child, but everyone has trauma. What's the big deal? I've gotten over it. I'm successful. I don't need to deal with any of that. Look at my trace of success. That's evidence enough that I've been able to deal with it. And yes, I have forgotten all of what happened when I was young and growing up and when I was a child. But that is as it should be, for I've buried it. It's gone. It's over. I've dealt with it. I've grown up. That's what people do. That's what men do. So that's what I've done. And no, I've never gotten anything called whatever that thing you say is body work. Again, that's all about strangers breathing all over you, slobbering about, saying frou-frou things that I don't need to hear. I'm not about to get anything called body work. Or how about hypnotism? Well, isn't that frou-frou stuff, too? I'm not going to certainly allow a stranger to hypnotize me. Give me a break. Okay, so there are a lot of people out there, and they do a lot of things, but the bottom line is, I don't need any help. I'm doing just fine, thank you very much. So I said no. I explored no alternatives to help myself. I did not take care of myself, let me say. What I didn't know at the time, what I didn't realize over those first 52 years is that that denial was taking its toll on my physical body. What I didn't see was I was aging relatively quickly. What I didn't know was that many of my students saw me as one of those old guys. Although my physical age was only in my 40s or early 50s. I didn't know any of this. I didn't see the aging. I didn't see the contortion in my face of denial. I didn't see the steel-like looks that I gave to others when I talked with them. I didn't really realize the pushing away energy that I exuded when I dealt with individuals. I didn't realize that I came across as a hard, crass individual rather than a soft, accepting individual. I didn't know any of this. I did know I was beginning to have some physical challenges that were minor, that didn't really require anything of any consequence. My hearing had always been a problem since I was a child. That was nothing that happened recently. I had back problems when I was in graduate school. I went to a chiropractor. I gutted my way through those problems. And a little problem here and there, nothing of any consequence. And yet, the aging was taking its toll over time. I talk about this story hoping that some of what I am saying may resonate with you. Perhaps just one thought that I had is a thought that you might have shared yourself. Some of what I am discussing may apply more to men than women, since we guys have to be able to do it all by ourselves. And that's not so much the case with women, who are much more willing and comfortable with asking for help and seeking out help from others. No, I'd rather do it by myself. That's a sign, of course, of power. Little did I know, it was just the reverse. It was the sign of being ineffectual. It was the sign of a life force that was oh so gradually withering away. So what happened to me? This man who had a tenured full professor appointment at a flagship university, a person who presumably was successful in every respect with many publications and many successful teaching awards. What happened to this individual was that the one person in his life who he counted on for his survival died unexpectedly. Nanette was gone. And then there was only me. So then it suddenly hit. Everything came crashing down. Everything was in my face. I suspect that that is similar to the call of the symptoms of Parkinson's. It's a lot alike when the doctor looks over at you and says, "You have Parkinson's." What do I do about it? And one of the choices I might say is to say, "I'd rather join my wife. I'm not doing this anymore." And I considered that as an option, but decided I had two children, and I wasn't about to check out. I had a reason to be here on this earth. And so I began a struggle within the core of my being, to look out and ask, where can I find help? I want to say again, this is the first time in my life when I actually did this. I could acknowledge to myself that I couldn't move forward unless I found help. I didn't know how to do it. Quite frankly, I didn't have a clue, and I felt anxious about everywhere that I looked. Still, I knew I had to take some action, else the other consequence is to simply wither away and die. I told the university I wasn't coming back a while, and quite frankly, I didn't care whether they fired me or not. I simply said, I can't do it right now. You're going to have to do without me, or I guess I won't be here anymore. And thankfully, they graciously acknowledged and gave me a prolonged leave of absence to do what it is that I needed to do. The bell had tolled. My time had come to address the consequences of living in a body, to acknowledge the trauma that had been trapped at the cellular level, in the tissues, in the muscles, and in the cells of my physical body. I had carried them my entire life. I had ignored them my entire life. But now it was time to say, the choice is to die or to live. I made the choice to live. But only could I live if I found help. Are you a person like me? Have you ignored the possibility that there is help out there for you? Perhaps by simply listening to this meditation, this is the first time you have sought any help whatsoever for yourself from anyone. A stranger who is talking at you at a distance. That's getting help of sorts. Are you a person who has convinced yourself that you can always do it by yourself? And are you a person who has proven that that is true, just like me, for 52 years? Let me say, it was all a delusion. It is a delusion. I could not do it by myself. I wasn't doing it by myself. I simply wasn't able to acknowledge that to be true. We all need help. We can't get through this life without getting help from others. I believe that a profound factor that affects the symptoms of Parkinson's is trauma that is trapped in our physical bodies. We're not talking about an idea here. We're talking about a physical manifestation of trauma. Trauma that can be physical, trauma that can be emotional, trauma that can be mental. Do you have trauma that is trapped in your physical body? There's a good chance the answer to that question is yes. And if the answer is yes, and if you do have the symptoms of Parkinson's knocking at your front door, yelling out, "Notice me now," then there is an option that is available to you. The option is to live or to die. Once you make your choice, if your choice is to live, then I suggest to you today that to do so requires that you seek help. Help from somebody out there who is right for you, who can give you the support that you need to be able to release the traumas that you have experienced throughout your lifetime, from the time that you were conceived to the time that you were born, to the time that you became a toddler and were able to walk, to the time that you became a teenager at the age of 13, to the time that you became an adult, to the time that you became the age that you are today. We all have traumas that we experience throughout our lifetimes. Many are horrific. When we allow those traumas to be trapped in our bodies, we will pay the physical price. The traumas that were trapped in my physical body, I must say to you, were entirely unconscious. I had some awareness of their source, but little did I know the depth and the horrific nature of what had happened to me until I sought help. The end of my story, then, you see, is at the time when Nayanat died, I made a choice to attempt to live rather than to die, and I sought out immediately help. I was willing to try absolutely anything. So I took action. In my particular case, I had a student who had told me about a form of healing that his mother had found to be greatly advantageous to her. He told me his mother had given to him healings that were magnificent and made a huge difference to him personally. So I had purchased one of the books that this energy healer had written, and I had been dabbling with one chapter or another over the past year before Nanette died. So when she died, I found the book. It was a book by an individual named Barbara Brennan, and at the back there was a phone number, so I called and asked, do you have a workshop people can attend, a healing workshop? And their answer was, no, we have none scheduled for this year. And I thought, oh, that's not the place I can go to get help. But they did say, we have a school, and if you wish, you can apply to attend the school. Don't ask me why, but I decided that's what I needed to do, to attend a school of healing. And that was my choice. That's what I did at the time of my crisis. The truth is that I had many choices available. That choice did help. It did make a huge difference. And being able to give me the support that I needed to release the trauma that riddled throughout every cell of my body. I say to you now, are you an individual who has always said throughout your lifetime, I'd rather do it myself? It'll be done better if I do it myself. Then, if you were like me, you were and you are deceiving yourself. I acknowledge now there is absolutely no way I could have begun to release the trauma that was riddling throughout my physical body without getting help from somebody somewhere. I invite you to consider the possibility of seeking out help for yourself. I can assure you, there is help out there. There is a person, or there are persons, who can make a huge difference to your life, to your life force, to your lifeblood, to your ability to come into your full power, to your success with recovering from the symptoms of Parkinson's. There is help out there. There are many, many different forms of this help, but I assure you there is help to be had. The only mistake that we make is to refuse to seek the help that we need. I say to you now, I could not have succeeded in recovering from my wife's death had I not sought help from others. I didn't get help from just one place. I got help from many, many different places and many, many different people. All of it has helped. All of it has made a difference. I launched a journey of healing for myself. And in closure, I must tell you one additional thing. I was back at my home university recently, doing some work in Lexington, Kentucky, and I happened to see a student of mine who was sitting at a table across the restaurant. I thought I recognized him, but I wasn't quite sure, so sitting by myself, I simply continued to write the notes of what I was about to work on that day. The student finished his meal with his wife and walked over to the table and said, "Excuse me, but are you Dr. Rogers?" And rather astounded, I looked up and said, "Well, yes." And he told me his name and said, "I was a student in one of your classes." At which point I recognized his voice and then I recognized his face, and it warmed my heart that a person would recognize me in such a place and in such a fashion. And I said, "Hello, how have you been?" He said, "Quite well," and told me the miraculous story of his success and his career. And then he looked me straight in the eyes and he said, "Do you know, I didn't know it was you at first. I thought perhaps it was, but I didn't know because, you see, you look now 20 years younger than when I knew you as a professor." He said to me, "What happened? How did you get so much younger so quickly?" I simply smiled, and I looked up to him and I said, "I got help." Getting help makes a difference. It makes a difference to our ability to be comfortable and in our center when we are in crowds. It makes a difference in being able to feel that we are enough and that we always will be enough. It makes a difference in being able to say there is enough time to do whatever there needs to be done in this life. It makes a difference in becoming unstuck, in being able to have ideas and visions of what we need to accomplish in our lives and then step forward and doing those things. Getting help makes a difference in being able to see relief from whatever physical symptoms we might be having today. Getting help means that healing becomes possible. Because you see, we can't do it by ourselves. Too much of what happens is unconscious, is hidden to ourselves. I don't care how smart we say we are, or how able or competent we are, there is much that we cannot see that is hidden deep inside. Help is what is needed to come back in to who we are, to come back in to our full power. Even if you are seeking out help now, think about the possibility that there are other places to look. There is more help available to you. Seek it out. Seek it out now. Come into your full life force. See a sustained relief from whatever symptoms may be pestering you today. Come back to home. Come back to who you are as you invite the trauma to be released from every cell of your body now and forevermore. Many blessings to each of you. This is Robert Rogers from Parkinson's Recovery.